1 Kings chapter 8, we'll be reading verses 10 and 11 in 1 Kings. And it came to pass, when the priests were come out of the holy place, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled this house. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word this morning once again. And at this point in time, I ask, Father, for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to rest upon your servant, that there be no display of the flesh, but that there be a humility and a dependency upon you and only you, Lord, and that your words will flow through me and touch the hearts and lives of your children, and that their hearts will be open to receive, Lord, that which you have for us. In Jesus' name I pray, and everybody said, amen and amen. You may be seated. We're going to talk this morning for a few minutes about worshiping the Lord. And when I'm talking about worshiping the Lord, I'm not talking about what you might be accustomed to or used to over the years. And many of us come from a tremendous different backgrounds, you know, varied backgrounds, some from Roman Catholicism, some from Baptist, some from Assemblies of God, and just a varied different background. And we've all learned different forms of worship, but how many of you know the form of worship that is to set precedent is that which is in the Word of God? Amen? And that's what really counts at the end of the day. And so I want to give you just a couple of salient points on the opening scriptures that we did read this morning. In verse 6, it says that, and the priest brought the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord unto this place. And what I find amazing there is as we silhouette the Old Testament to the New Testament, as one looking forward, understand this, that when I was preaching revivals throughout the country over the years and crisscrossing the Southeast, I would oftentimes get to a church and they would say to me, hey, Mr. Evangelist, we are so hungry for a revival, we hope you brought God with you. And I'd look at them perplexed, and then I'd have to say to them, I said, if God isn't already here with you, there's little chance that there's going to be any revival in your house. Why? Because when we come to the Lord's house, the Lord is not here in some little cubicle like in the Catholic Church where I grew up, where they watch over this Eucharistic box. You know, this is just a building. That's all it is. It's brick, mortar, it's pews, it's wood. But we have the Spirit of the Lord within us. And so when we come to church, we should come to church bringing the Lord with us. Can you say amen? And we come to allow the Lord not only to flow through us, but to speak to us. And so the Lord has got much to say with regard to the topic of worship. The types of worship that you're accustomed to may be very different than what many others feel, you know, or have experienced. But I think we're going to cover three topics today that will set forth the standard by which the Word of God says worship is to be. And that is, number one, what is true worship? What is true worship? Number two, why do we worship in specific ways? And number three, what should we expect from true worship? And so let me preface it by saying all this. You may not be comfortable with what you're about to learn, but it's going to be the Word of God. Amen. God never said His Word would be comfortable. Amen. There's a lot of churches out there that can make you feel real comfortable. I'm not that kind of preacher. I'm still more an evangelist than anything else. So I'm here to bring the Word and deliver it to you, right to you, straight to you. No icing on it, right before you. And so I'm going to tell you very clearly what worship is all about this morning. And how many of you can agree, just by raising hands, say, Pastor, if that's what the Word of God says, then that's what I'll do. How many can you agree with that? Praise God. Then we're going to have a good time in the church house this morning. All right, let's see what the Word of God says with regards to worship. This morning, I'm going to give you, as I said, a clear and precise direction for worship. You can write these down. You can listen to the sermons on the internet and take notes later if you want to this morning. But if the Bible said it, that ought to settle it. So here's where we're going to go. Number one, the reasons for worship. I want to read for you in Psalms chapter 18, three verses, and I'm going to go a little slow and pick it apart as we go through. The very first six words in verse 1 says, I will love thee, O Lord. I will love thee, O Lord. Why? When the psalmist wrote this, I think the first thing that came to my mind is, why do we love the Lord? Well, to be frank with you, one of the most direct answers that maybe we ought to be giving is because we need the Lord. Amen? I mean, listen, the bottom line is this. You didn't fall in love with Jesus and then get saved. No, you didn't hear me. You didn't fall in love with Jesus and then get saved. You got saved and fell in love with Jesus. Why? Because you found out that without the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart, you were going to die and spend an eternity in hell. But after we come to the Lord, after we've received Christ into our heart and he's our Savior, we fall in love with him. Now, he had no problem before you got saved loving you and me. In fact, no matter how bad any person has ever been, anybody from Ayatollah Khomeini to Adolf Hitler, to any living being, any living human being throughout the course of history, he loves you no more than he loves them. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? He loves us that much, regardless of our weaknesses or our frailties or our shortcomings. But we had to learn to love him. You know, I think sometimes it's very hard for us to perceive unconditional love. It's hard to think that when we foul up, we screw up, and we have a bad hair day, you know. Well, I haven't had those in years, but if we have a bad day, it's hard for us to fathom that God still loves us when we feel like God ought to just, you know, how can you love somebody like me? But you know what? There's nothing that you can do. The Bible says nothing can separate us from the love of God. How many of you believe nothing is a real word? Say nothing. Nothing can separate us. So the question is, as the psalmist wrote this, is, I will love thee, O Lord. Then he follows it up with why he loves the Lord. And I think it falls right in line with what I just said as to why we pretty much love the Lord. He said, because you're the Lord, my rock. You're my fortress. You're my deliverer. You're my God and my strength. And in you I will trust. And you're my buckler and the horn of my salvation. And you are my high tower. In verse 3 it says, and I will call upon the Lord, now here it is, who is worthy to be praised. Amen. I mean, when you look at all the things God is to us and has done for us, how many of you can agree that he is worthy for us to praise him? Amen. And here, he adds a little golden nugget at the end of this verse, and he says, and if you praise him because of who he is, did you hear me? If you praise him because of who he is, not because of who you are. You see, worship and praise is not about you and it's not about me. Worship and praise is all about God. Amen. It's not what we want to do or what we like to do or what we feel like doing. It's what we know he wants us to do because God loves the praises and worship of his children. And he says, if you'll do that, so shall you be saved from your enemies. Hallelujah. How many of you want to be saved from the attacks of the enemy? Amen. Praise God. So that's another, you know, that's just a little bit of added benefit for us to praising God. He says, if you'll praise him on his terms, he'll make sure that he'll protect you. He'll protect you from the wiles of the enemy. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he said, ye are chosen generation. Say, I'm chosen. You are a royal priesthood. Now, don't let this make your head get too big when you hear this. But he said, you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation and a peculiar people. Did you hear that? Look at the person next to you or in front of you or back of you and say, you're peculiar. Amen. Yeah, we're peculiar people. First of all, he chose us. He chose us. And he said, hey, look, you know, if I died for you, you ought to live for me. Amen? Amen. So God knows that worshiping him in his ways is maybe a little peculiar to the rest of the world. Now, you know, with the age of TV and internet technology, it's not too difficult to understand that there are many different forms of worship and praise in the church today. But some of them are not biblical worship and praise. Let me give you one example. Rock music is not worship and praise. Do you understand me? I don't care if you put Christian lyrics to it. Rock music is not of God. Now, I'm not talking about contemporary music, but I'm saying rock music is not. There's other forms of worship that are not of God. And those forms of worship are when we become a display of what I call the flesh. In other words, it's just an emotional tangent. Now, I like getting happy in the Lord like the next person does. I like to live, love, dance, and shout, and shout glory. Every time I'd walk up to a new pulpit in a new church and I'd be preaching a revival, the first two words out of my mouth were, well, glory! And everybody looked, and I knew that everybody's awake then. But I love to shout in church. I think there's no better place to shout than in church. People shout at home all the time and at each other, and they seem to have no problem, but I like to shout unto the Lord. Amen? So there's good kinds of praise and worship, and there's bad kinds of praise and worship, but God's ways are peculiar. And when I say that is because when you begin to feel like you have to get out of your comfort zone to worship and praise God, that's okay. Because that's maybe what you need to do, is to get out of your comfort zone, because again, it's not for you, it's for Him. Amen? So think about this, like the psalmist said, if God was willing to bring you out of darkness and save you, do you think he also ought to dictate how we ought to worship him? I mean, if he saved us from an eternal hell, you think that if he dictated how we ought to worship him in return, that'd be okay? I think he's got the right to do that. Amen. And there's a reason he's got a right to do that. The Bible says that we have been bought with a price, and that price is the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible also says that we, like Paul said, I am no longer of my own, but I am a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am shackled to him. I am a servant and he is my master. That's why we call him master. Amen. And if the master say do this, we do this. If the master say go there, we go there. You remember the centurion saying that to Jesus? Well, Jesus, I'm a man under authority and I know what authority is. And if one man say do this, the man will do it. If I say do that, do that. And so Jesus is teaching us in his own word that we are his children. We are his disciples. We are his servants. Paul went so far as to say, I'm not even a servant. I'm a slave, and gladfully so. Amen? And so we do this because we honor him and we love him. Now, I think those are good reasons to worship him on his terms, but let me give you the types of worship now, how this all fits in. I want to spend a little extra time on this because this is where the comfort zone gets a little bit rocky there. The first thing is, how many of you went to school? Do that again, please. What are you doing right now? You're raising your hands. Do you know that you spend anywhere from, you know, I went through grade school, high school, college, seminary, all that good stuff, and I learned that I had to raise my hand to get results. Amen? If I got a question I need an answer to, I raise my hands. The Bible says a lot about raising our hands. Now, I know that there's a lot of people that raise their hands in different ways, especially up here in the Midwest. I've seen them raise their hands and call me number one many times driving down the highway, and I find it very, very frustrating. We can raise our hands and applaud rock stars and athletes, but God says in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 41, he says, let us lift up our heart. Now, everybody point to your heart. And then he says, now keep it there. With our hands, we lift up our heart unto heaven. So when you're lifting up your hands unto the Lord, you're lifting up your heart. You're surrendering your heart to him. You see that? Isn't that beautiful? I never saw it that way until I saw that in Lamentations. We lift up our heart with our hands unto our God in the heavens. And in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, I will therefore that men pray only when you're in church and nobody can see you. No, that wasn't what it said. Oh, wait a minute. I will therefore that men pray only when you're with Christians. No, that's not what it says either. Let me look a little closer. Oh, it says, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Everybody say everywhere. How? By lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubt. Amen? Lifting up holy hands without wrath. You know, I've seen people raise their hands in wrath and doubt. I'm going to get you. And God says, don't do it that way, but lift up your hands unto the Lord without wrath, without doubt. And don't worry about the rest of the world does. Amen? You know, we've gotten so comfortable with the world dictating how we should live. And as time goes on in this country, we lose more and more of our Christian freedom. I think that we need to realize that we don't have to worry about what the rest of the world thinks or does. What we got to do is concern ourselves with what the Lord thinks. Amen? Amen. Another area is that in, and this is one that gets really, really tough, and I did it before, well, glory, and that is shouting. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 16, let me read something for you. Do I hear a little hum? That's all right. Don't worry about it. We'll get past that. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 16, it came to pass after the seventh time when the priests blew the trumpets, and Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you this city. You hear that? He said, listen, after they marched around Jericho seven times, the Lord said, Joshua said, the Lord hath told me to tell you after marching around seven times, I want you to shout because the Lord hath, past tense, hath given you the city. Listen, God hath given you salvation. God hath given you peace. God hath given you hope. God hath given you deliverance. God hath given you eternal life. God hath given you grace. God hath given you joy unspeakable and full of glory. He has already done it. We ought to be shouting about it. Amen? I said shout about it. Say praise the Lord. No, I said shout about it. Praise the Lord. Let the Lord hear you shout. Don't you be dignified in front of me. That's not worth a plug nickel of me. What you're doing is you're learning to worship the way God wants you to. And there's a very big reason why we shout that most Christians don't even know exists. And I want to read that for you right now. Psalms 150. You ready for this? All right. I praise you, Lord. Praise God. I praise you in the sanctuary. Now, we're talking about instruments here. I praise you in the sanctuary, and I praise you in the firmament of his power. I praise him for his mighty acts. I praise him according to his excellence and his greatness. I praise him for the sound of the trumpet. I praise him for the harp. I praise him with the tambourine and the dance. I praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. I praise him with the loud cymbals. I praise him with the high-sounding cymbals. Now, that covers about every instrument you can about think of. Amen? Huh? It really does, doesn't it? It's amazing. Now, did you catch that other one back there in verse 4? I praise him with a tambourine and a dance. What? Let me share something with you about dancing. I don't think you think for a minute that what you see called dancing nowadays is what we're talking about here. But there's a segment of scripture where King David was coming into the city and they were returning the Ark of the Covenant. They were bringing it home. And David, the Bible says, David disrobed himself. And as he, no, I don't mean naked. He had a loincloth on. But he disrobed himself and he danced before the covenant. In other words, he danced before the Lord, making entrance for the Lord to come into his children once again. And they were very upset with him for doing this, but they didn't realize why David did that. And the reason David did that is because only slaves disrobed themselves and danced. And so David was sending a message: the king has become a slave. Amen. Hallelujah. The king has become a slave. We who are a royal priesthood, we who are kings and queens for the Lord Jesus Christ, have become slaves. And when you dance before the Lord, this is not something that's orchestrated, or prefabricated, or choreography given. This is something that happens naturally, supernaturally. It happens when we just sort of get a bounce in our step. I've seen churches, man, I've seen people run the aisles. I've seen them dance around the aisles. I've seen people get so happy in the Lord. Hey, listen, if you can't get happy before the Lord in his house, where can you? Amen? If people can go to a bar and get drunk and fall down drunk and dance like Jezebels and everything else, I think it's much greater that we ought to be able to come into his house and dance before his presence. Amen? And let him know that we're not doing this to put on a show, but we're doing this because we're his slaves. We're his children. And we're so thankful that he's coming into his house. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Amen. I think that's just great word there. I might even say that's good preaching this morning, Pastor. Praise God. Now, he says one more thing in verse 6 here, and I want to close this section out here. He said, after all the things that you've listened to, all of the instruments that you can use, and they should be used, he said, then let everything, say everything, that hath breath. How many of you have breath? Huh? Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And he says, praise you the Lord. So at the count of three, I don't want it quiet this time. I want you to shake up, wake up, Caitlin. Ready? At the count of three, I want you to give me a big praise the Lord. One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Say, you know, listen to me. I get so tickled watching your faces because some of you, it's just so uncommon. Now, the only one that didn't really do a good job of it was the big, tall, jelly green giant behind there. So we're going to try one more time, and I want to hear that barrel voice come forward, okay? At the count of three, praise the Lord. You ready? One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now give the Lord a hand clap for that. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, we can shout over ball games. We can shout over, you know, the Hawks losing or the Hawks winning, depending on what side of the fence you're on. We can shout over the Bears. We can shout over the Sox. Well, some of us can even shout over the Cubs. But I don't get any more joy than shouting over Jesus. Amen? I get real happy shouting over Jesus. There's nothing better to shout about. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, our soon returning King. Praise God. So what are the results? What are the results of worship? Psalms 22:3 says it this way, and we're going to close it out this morning with this. Psalms 22:3 says, but thou art holy. How many of you believe he's holy? Amen. I mean, that's not rocket science, church. We know God's holy. And thou, Lord, inhabits. Now, the word inhabit there in the Hebrew means presence. God is present. God inhabits, or God is present through the praises of Israel. That literally translates, God is present. We elevate, listen to me now, we elevate the presence of God by shouting. Now, I know that may not sit good with some of you folks that aren't used to shouting. Some of you got so much dust on your vocal cords you couldn't hit a C or a D or an E or an F or a G. But God doesn't care how you sound. What he cares about is why you're doing it. Amen? He wants you to do it because you love him. He wants you to do it because he saved you. He wants to do it because he's got a future for you. He wants you to do it just because he said so. Amen? And he said, if you'll do it, and you'll do it with a true heart, not a comfort zone, not an understanding, not even an intellect, but you'll do it out of a true desire in your heart. The Holy Ghost will come up inside you, and I'm not just talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about elevating the presence of God and releasing. Watchman Nee wrote a book many years ago called The Release of the Spirit. And that's what we do as the children of God. When we begin to worship God and allow Him to be released through us, we can touch a lost and dying world. We can put a smile on a frown. Amen? We can put a lift on somebody's feet. We can make somebody feel like there's hope instead of horror in their lives. That's why God wants us to worship and praise Him anywhere, anytime, anyplace. So listen to me. If we want God to fill His house with His presence, then we need to begin to worship based on His standards. Can you say amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let me close with just these few closing thoughts, and we'll close out our first service this morning. And I truly hope that you've been blessed by this message. But just a few little snippets here just to remind you. Worship. When we worship, we worship Him in His beauty. We worship Him in His holiness. We worship Him with humbleness. And we worship Him with happiness. Amen? Say, I'm happy. Say, no, I mean, say, I'm happy. I'm happy. I'm happy. Happy, happy, happy. Amen. Yeah, just get silly. Amen. I think we ought to just get silly for Jesus. Amen. Happy, happy, happy. Amen. Don't worry, be happy. Right? Amen. Honor Him. We worship Him by honoring Him. We honor Him by glorifying Him because He's worthy of our glory. Amen. We praise Him because He's worthy of our praise. We worship Him because He's worthy of our worship. And by doing that, we learn to embrace Him more intimately. We please Him more outwardly. And He fills us more intently. Isn't that good? Amen. So we sang a song this morning. I want Jeff, come on up here with your guitar. Come on up here, son. And I used to sing this on the road years ago. And I know it's Sister Deanne's, one of Sister Deanne's favorites, but surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. I can feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Stand to your feet and let's sing that one more time and we'll close in prayer. Surely the presence of the Lord is in His. Lift up your hands and worship Him now. Feel His mighty power and His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I hear glory on each face. Surely the presence of the Lord. One more time. Oh, surely the presence of the Lord is in. And His grace. I can feel the brush of angels' wings. I see glory on His face. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Father, it has been so good to be in Your presence this morning. And we pray, Lord, that we have been a blessing to You. I pray, Father, Your children have received Your word unrestrained, uninhibited, and that we will be able to practice, Lord, what we have received and demonstrate this, Lord, not just within the confines of these walls, but as we go out these doors and we touch a lost and dying world, so that somebody who needs hope, somebody who needs direction, somebody who needs to know there's more to life than what they're going through, that we be that vessel that will be used to bring them to Jesus. Father, keep us safe as we go our separate ways throughout this inclement weather today. I had your protection round about your children to and fro as we go, Lord. And we ask all this in the glorious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen and amen. You are dismissed.